Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
But it is the last day of the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, it's a $1,500 prize package that's been put together for some lucky winner. If Brian reads your story, you are eligible to win the prize package. It's a $500 gift card from Steinhoffels, a four-pack of tickets to Fiserv Forum to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's coming up on December 30th, thanks to Manuel Motors and Maguanago Yamaha. And we have Milwaukee-Dallas game tickets for the January 21st game. That's all brought to you by Parallel Employment Group. But this is it. If your story's not read now, you don't go into the hopper along with everybody else, and it has been a spectacular run of stories again this year.
Oh, and how?
Yeah. So, why am I talking? Let's get to them. Brian.
All right. Been reading right up to the last minute. Here we go. When we were kids, my brothers and sisters and I participated in the Christmas children's service at our church school every year. We had our classmates stand up in front and recite memorized portions of the Christmas gospel along with other lines and songs, all in our Christmas best, of course. The year I was in third grade, for some reason, my dad was responsible for picking out my clothes along with my brothers for the service. He assigned my older and younger brother and I the standard garb, dress slacks, a dress shirt, and solid colored sweater to go over the top. But then out of nowhere, he produced a bright red and white plaid sport coat from the 70s that he insisted I wear over my navy blue sweater.
Wow, wonder what's got this going.
I was horrified. Immediately
nostalgia.
A knot started growing in the pit of my stomach at the thought of having to wear this ridiculous thing in front of my friends and the whole congregation.
Yeah.
I protested for a brief moment, but my dad was the kind of parent who had zero tolerance for complaints and next to zero tolerance for discussion about these kinds of things. I was going to wear it, and that was that. So I arrived at church basically dressed as a plaid candy cane.
Oh, kid.
As I entered the classroom where all the kids gathered beforehand, things went just as I feared. My jacket was the visual equivalent of a blaring fart. Oh. Everyone noticed and laughed and stared. The last straw for me was when a buck-toothed older boy, whom I didn't particularly get along with, sidled up to me, danced a little jig, and started singing, "Mr. Clown, Mr. Clown," in a hokey voice for his friends. Note, that's not the title of the song. I just remember those were the words he sang.
You never forget stuff like that.
That was it. I ditched my coat of ugly colors somewhere in the classroom and proceeded with my classmates into the church without it. After the service, my dad immediately asked me where my jacket was and why I didn't wear it like I was supposed to. To this day, it's a mystery as to why he was so obsessed with this thing. He never seemed to care about what we were wearing on any other occasion. Anyway, once we got home and were about to open presents, my parents lined us up in front of the Christmas tree for a group picture. And once again, Dad made me put on the jacket. In the picture, I'm smiling, but you can tell I had just been crying.
Oh.
Dad wins every time.
I think he was nostalgic, and he wanted to see his son like he was passing something
I just
on.
I don't. There's a lot of parental behavior this morning. Here's another one. No, not so much a horror story. Well, I think it is. More a terrifying story as a child when we went to my grandparents on my dad's side for Christmas Eve. Alcohol is always served. My mom didn't drive back then. And there were me and my three sisters aged 4 to 9 at the time. We still had to go to my mom's parents afterwards, and my dad decided to drive crazy when we were out in the country.
What?
He turned the lights off on the truck and would keep turning them off and on.
Jeez,
the
Dad.
Last time he turned them off, we ended up going up a curb and ended up in a field.
Oh, my God.
What?
All of us kids were crying and screaming. My mom then yelled, by the time we got to my grandparents, we were all teary-eyed and thought our parents were going to get divorced. My grandparents made us sleep there. My dad passed out, so mom got drunk.
Okay.
Mom only drank when dad passed out.
Wow.
Okay. Between Christmas and New Year's 1998, our house almost burned down.
Ooh.
It's mom and her candles again. There's a few of those. We read one yesterday or a couple
blamed
of days ago.
For a nice smelling house.
Mm-hmm. Mom left a candle burning while we went to the movies. Next to the candle on the kitchen table was a plate of cookies and a big box of wrapping paper. Mm. Our dog had jumped on the table and knocked the candle over. We know this because her fur had wax in it. And yes, all the animals survived. We came home to a glowing cloud in our front window. Mom screamed, ooh, the house is on fire.
Yes.
Dad quickly grabbed a bucket, and luckily the faucet outside wasn't frozen. As Dad is about to run into a burning building with a gallon of water as his defense, Mom tells him to stop, presumably because of the danger. Nope, she yells at him to take off your new leather coat so it doesn't get smoke damage.
Frugal! Greatest generation!
Meanwhile, I had called 911 on our family's cell phone. We lived in the country of a small town. I watched the fire trucks coming down the road and turn the wrong way.
Oh, my God.
I called 911 back and informed them to tell the fire trucks to turn around. Later, the fireman who went to our church said, next time, just tell 911 who is calling instead of the address. We'll get there quicker.
Okay.
Wow. Any no word on how much damage there was to the house, though?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Take off your jacket. I just got you that. I went to Wilson's.
Gotta read this one. Christmas 1992. I was 14, sitting on my bed, listening to Ozzy on my shiny new CD Walkman with my headphones on.
Wow.
Mom was in the kitchen preparing dinner for guests, and Dad was parked in front of the television. I heard Mom yelling over my headphones and thought to myself, there goes Mom losing her mind in the kitchen, and just turned up the volume.
Mm-hmm, because we're doing everything.
About a minute later, most of the house shook with what sounded like continuous thunder. Considering thunder doesn't come from inside the house, my interest was piqued. I came downstairs and into the kitchen to a sight I will never forget.
I can't imagine. I don't know what it is.
Dad holding Mom in one arm and his .45 caliber in the other.
Whoa.
Mom bleeding from a 3-inch gash in her leg. The neighbor's dog dead next to the kitchen table, laying in a pool of blood and beef roast and gravy.
Oh, my God.
Well, this trumps a Christmas story.
Mom had left the sliding door in the kitchen open to cool off the kitchen, and the neighbor's lab came in and helped himself to the roast. When my mom tried to stop him, the dog bit her leg, prompting a deadly response from my Vietnam veteran dad, who was always prepared for Russians parachuting into the backyard.
That explains why he had the .45 handy.
Now for the second act.
What?
Right after I entered the kitchen, the neighbor shows up at the sliding door and starts freaking out and screaming at Dad.
Oh, boy.
Mom went off saying, we've been telling you to keep your dog on a leash and out of our yard since you moved in, and now look what happened to you, a-hole. Neighbor Jim lost it and lunged in Mom's direction, only to be pistol-whipped right in the nose by Dad.
Ray Liotta.
What? Wow. What kind of neighbor starts barking
to the woman
at the other neighbor with his dog in your kitchen and a dude holding a .45?
He went down in a daze. It was at this point that the front door opened and my 5 and 6-year-old cousins ran into the kitchen to say Merry Christmas, only to be met by the horror show our family now refers to as the R-rated Christmas Story dog scene.
Oh, it's a Tarantino.
Dad asked my uncle to call 911, and my aunt took Mom to the hospital to get sewn up. The police arrived before neighbor Jim was even out of his daze. He was arrested. My parents sued the bejesus out of him, and when his house went into foreclosure a few years later, they bought it.
Wow.
My brother's family lived there now, and I moved into my parents' house when they passed away. Our yards have fences, our lawns are beautiful, and landmine free.
Wow.
Do either have dogs?
We have much more to go through. Oh, here we go. December 22nd, 2017, I'm driving on my way to work listening to a Christmas Horror Story when one of the stories sounds somewhat familiar. All of a sudden, the writer said the mother-in-law's name. Then I realized that's my family. I couldn't believe this a-hole, who was mostly on his computer during the holidays and not interacting, wrote this over-exaggerated story about my family.
Oh, a rebuttal.
Grandma may not be with us anymore, but what makes Christmas merry is that he is no longer part of our family.
Wow.
We actually make it into a horror story.
They didn't get specific enough for us to figure out what the story was, though.
Yeah, I wish they would have.
All right, here we're just about into the home stretch. Growing up, Christmas was the holiday at our house. We lived on a busy road between two large towns. My dad went all out and made sure our house was seen. A few years prior to this story, Dad had planted a row of about a dozen pine trees across the front edge of the yard facing the road. He claimed they were to cut down on road noise, but I think it was so he could have 12 more Christmas trees.
Smart kid.
As soon as they were tall enough, we would string lights on each one. You could spot our house from a mile in either direction. Fast forward a few years. The trees are all about 4 or 5 feet tall. Very nicely shaped and perfectly spaced. It was pretty impressive. A couple days before Christmas, the trees were all lit and looking good. The only thing that would make them look better would be a fresh coat of fluffy snow, and poof, wish granted, a picture-perfect dusting of the white stuff had fallen during the afternoon a couple hours before Dad got home from
work. My guess
is
this is what the old man had in mind the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's here it is.
5 o'clock, Dad comes crashing in the door and tells my mom to call the sheriff's department. There's been a theft. Someone had cut down one of his trees and stolen it, lights and all.
What?
When the deputy gets there, we all proceed to follow the perfect set of tracks in the snow that had led straight from the stump to an apartment a few houses down. And lo and behold, there was our tree, complete with our lights and what remained of the melting snow, standing proudly in the lit window of an apartment.
Oh, God.
What a douchebag.
The guy had spent the afternoon in a local bar and decided one of our trees would look perfect in his front window. After the sheriff calmed my dad down and convinced him not to get his bat.
That's what dads do.
He wrote the guy a hefty ticket. Surprisingly, Dad let the guy keep the tree, Christmas spirit, you know, on the condition that he return the lights by New Year's Day.
Wow.
We only lit the trees one more year, partly because we were getting too big and mostly because it was just wrong with one tree missing. The dummy didn't even have the decency to take one from the end. He picked one from the middle.
Oh.
I don't think he returned the lights either. Merry Christmas, idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a downer.
Well, things will get better. Here we go.
You'd think the dead dog would have taken the starch out of my sails, but no, that one did.
Christmas 1992 is forever etched into my mind. It's Christmas Eve. I'm 7. Every adult is sufficiently hammered. Me and my 9-year-old sister are in our PJs awaiting bedtime, so Santa will come when my 19-year-old brother and my father get into a fist fight in the kitchen. While the punches are being thrown, our large kitchen table was scooting across the room. My mother sat at the head of the table as though nothing was happening, holding her drink and smoking a cigarette while the table kept moving across the room. As the fight went on, my father had a gash on his face, and I screamed, "You're bleeding!" He touched his face and said, "Eh, it's a scratch." This is when my brother grabs a large butcher knife and yells, "Come on, old man!"
Oh, my God.
On Christmas Eve, right? Is this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Not that it matters.
What's the diff?
Yeah. Eve. All right.
Finally, my mother pipes up and screams, "Take it outside!" The fight continued with the two of them rolling down our large front hill. The police finally came and break up the fight. No one was arrested or stabbed.
Ugh.
When everything calmed down, my sister and I are shaking uncontrollably, and my mother says, "You better get to sleep or Santa can't bring you your presents."
Oh, great.
The next morning, everyone was in the living room to open presents. My father acted as though nothing had happened, and my brother was nowhere to be found. Merry Christmas.
Where's Billy?
He's in the juvie. Don't worry about it. The detention center.
Yeah, okay, here we go. I come from a hard-drinking Roman Catholic family. However, when I was invited to my new girlfriend's family Christmas, I was literally shocked at the amount of alcohol consumed. It all started fairly innocently. The women of the house were very drunk. They began pinching my rear end whenever I walked past. They did it so much my butt cheeks got sore. I laughed along. My girlfriend's grandma was 76 years old and drinking more than anyone. At one point, she left the party to go to the bathroom and was gone a few minutes before Frank Sinatra's New York, New York began blasting from the lower level. Grandma then began stumbling back up the stairs. At the top, Grandma stated that she became a woman at 16 with the Navy midshipman in Kenosha to this song.
Thanks,
and just
Grandma.
Loves it.
From the Great Lakes Naval Base.
To emphasize her point, Grandma began swinging her arms like an orchestra conductor during an instrumental part.
Still on the steps.
Grandma swung a little too hard on one note. Because she stepped back and fell headfirst on her back down the steep stairs. Oh. The staircase is an L shape with a closet at the base of the first set of stairs. Grandma gained so much speed that her, that her head partially punctured the hollow closet doors at the base of the stairs. The room went silent. Her very drunk son, Paul, screamed, "Mom!" as he ran down the stairs to find his mom. He screamed to call 911. Paul then picked up his unconscious mother to move her down to the lower level so the paramedics could easily get to her. He took one step, fell down the stairs, and essentially threw Grandma in the closet.
Threw her the rest of the way down the stairs.
Amazingly, besides being having concussions, the pair was okay. Merry Christmas. I have two more, and I have to read them.
Okay. All right. Read
on. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I thought the butt pinching was great. Wow.
Let's see.
Remember that Christmas she threw Grandma all the way down the stairs when she only fell partway?
On Christmas Eve in the late 60s, my family and I were at my grandparents' house. It was like a Norman Rockwell picture. My grandparents' elderly friends sitting on the couch having an eggnog. My grandfather tending the fire. My mom and grandmother passing out snacks and Christmas cookies. My brothers and sisters and I playing Risk on the floor in the middle of the room near the Christmas tree. Suddenly a loud crash. I look up to see the elderly neighbors literally flying across the room. Betty landed on my little brother while Ed landed on the wrist board and rolled into the presents at the base of the tree. My 7-year-old mind thought we were having a massive earthquake. Everybody was on the ground, and the wall behind the couch had buckled, and the tree had fallen over. No earthquake. My aunt, who was living with my grandparents, had come home from another Christmas party and misjudged the back wall of the garage with a little too much speed.
Oh, my gosh.
Jan.
Oh, my God. Blam. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but it was a Christmas we'll never forget. Merry Christmas.
Elderly neighbors flying across the room suddenly. Whoa.
All right. I guess one more. We have one more.
That's all we have time for, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Christmas 1991 when my mother declared that she was not going to spend Christmas with our immediate family of four.
Well. Can you tell us why?
At the time, I was 11 and my brother was 9. Instead of spending Christmas with us, she stated she wanted to go to New York and spend it by herself exploring the city. My dad knew otherwise and told her that we would pick her up from the airport on the day that she was to fly home. She started screaming at my dad that she didn't need a chauffeur and that she didn't want to see us for the entire week. Apparently, my dad knew what she was up to and found all of her flight details. On the day she was to come home, we loaded up the car and were waiting for her to get off the plane at her gate. When she finally came off the plane, she was with her boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Right.
To which we found out later that she had been seeing for months. One wonders why you have to drag the kids into this.
Yeah, really, Mom. Way to go.
Or Dad.
Well, Dad is dragging the kids into it. This trip to New York was to meet his parents and the rest of his family. A few short, loud months later, my parents were divorced. It was the best thing that ever happened to our family.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
The best part of this story is that the boyfriend cheated on my mom years later. Karma. Merry Christmas.